Amen.
Amen. Throwing things around now. Good morning, everyone. Great. Great to see you. I love the Christmas message. I love it because we know it so well. Every detail, we could probably recite it, couldn't we? Quite easily, and we've missed very few words. We know it, so we can relax about the detail. But it's God's living word. God is always faithful, and this is a powerful word, sharper than any two-edged sword. So the Lord has a word for us today that we need to hear. It's not just about listening to a twee little story from long ago. It's about God speaking to our lives in this moment. And I've loved looking at these passages this week and hearing God speak to us. I've really enjoyed the title you've taken for this Christmas, Lavish. It's a wonderful title. I hope you've relished it. We all know the difference, don't we, between those gifts that are, tick, a gift. You know, it's fine. Thank you very much. Very kind of you to give it to me. But then a lavish gift. It is different, isn't it? When you know that person has gone to so much trouble. I wonder you could think of the lavish gifts you've received in your life. It won't be many, but those moments when the person just gave themselves to you through that gift, really precious. Well, push that to the end of the scale. God has given us the best gift through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's lavished his love upon each one of us, whoever you are. He's lavished his love on us. So, Mary and Joseph, we've been thinking about generosity through these weeks. And the question is, where was their generosity? What was the generosity of Mary and Joseph? Because here's a young couple. They had no wealth. They had no great positions of importance. And yet they were incredibly generous. Where was their generosity? Their generosity, this is the heart of the sermon, and we'll unpack it as we go. The heart of their generosity was their willingness. It's a tender picture of Joseph, isn't it? This righteous man, this man who did the right thing. It's a technical term, really. It's saying he was a man who was a Jew who took the law very seriously. He made sure that his life fitted in with what the law said. And so he's up against it, isn't he? You can't imagine, poor dear Joseph, a more embarrassing situation than finding this girl to whom you betrothed, which was more than engagement for us. You did actually need to have a divorce to get out of a betrothal. So he's betrothed to be married to Mary. You find she's pregnant. Bless him. He's a righteous man. He just wants to do the right thing. He thinks, what does the law require of me? And all he can think of is that the most decent way would just be to quietly divorce and move away. And then the angel comes to him and tells him the whole story, that she was carrying a child by the Holy Spirit. And he agrees to go. He's a righteous man. He's discovered what the right thing to do is. Then we come to Mary. Fascinating story. Betrothal for girls could be between the ages of 12 and 14. It is generally thought that she's probably in her late teens. We don't know, definitely. She's unlikely to be in her 20s. She's a young woman, a very young woman. She's had a very limited experience of life. And she has this confrontation with an angel who tells her she's going to have a baby. And she just reflects on the absurdity of it. She knows she's a virgin. She knows he just must have got his facts wrong. Angels are nice people, but no doubt they have bad days like anybody else. He's just got his facts wrong. I'm a virgin. You've got to get it wrong. And then the angel says what the situation is, and beautifully Mary just says, let it be to me according to your word. Let's go with it. Willingness. That's the word, willingness. And as God comes to us this Christmas time and seeks our generosity, I want you to hear this. Before anything else, he is looking for your willingness. Your willingness to do things that might be well outside the box. I feel very defensive of Joseph. You know, this good man, does he play his life by the rules? And God comes along and blasts the box open. Says, I'm asking you to be willing to do something that is simply crazy. It's never happened before in history. I'm asking you to do that. I ask you the question, are you willing to do whatever the Lord would ask you to do, however crazy it might seem? You know, if it looks straightforward, if it looks obvious, then it's easy to say, yeah, Lord, let's go with that. But when the Lord asks you to do something that is well outside your comfort zone, well outside any decency box, well outside anything you're expecting the Lord to ask of you, are you willing to do that? It's very easy to be willing when what's happening fits in with our plans for our life. You know, we're cool with that. Yeah, that looks really good. Yeah, I'm willing to do that because I'd really enjoy doing that job. Well, what if the Lord asks you to do something you don't want to do? Are you willing to do that? Because ultimately, that's what the situation was here. This was not what they were comfortable doing. I'm sure if they'd had the option, they'd love not to have gone this way. But the Lord, they come to the Lord and they say, we're willing. We're willing to go with you. How willing are you to serve the Lord? I have to say there have been moments in my life when I've been very, very willing to do what I wanted to do. Very willing to serve the Lord in a way that suited me. Shall I give you a very clear part of my testimony? It's very powerful for me. We're going back 12 years. I was looking after the Southwest, a kind of role that Joth has now. 100 churches in the Southwest, Devon and Cornwall, 90 ministers to look after. Fantastic job. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. A joy to go around the churches, encourage the ministers, what I wanted to do. I knew my friend David Coffey was retiring. That was not a piece of news. We knew that was happening. And people came to me and said, Jonathan, we're absolutely sure God wants you to do this role. And I looked in their eyes very straightforwardly and said, you can believe what you like. I'm absolutely sure the Lord is not calling me to, because I'm sure the Lord is really blessing what we're doing at the moment in the Southwest. And I wanted to hang on to it. We loved living in Devon. Who wouldn't love living in Devon? Not quite as blessed as living in Eastleigh, but there you go. But we loved living in Devon. It's great for the family. We loved our home. We loved everything about it. And I was keen to hang on to it. And as the months followed, the single people coming to me became dozens of people coming to me. We're quite sure, Jonathan, this is what the Lord wants you to do. What happened, of course, through those months, and it was 10 months, was I polished my arguments more and more sharply as the months went on. So I could get rid of these people quickly. I had about 16 reasons by the end of it why I knew they were wrong. I was preaching in the November 05 in Falmouth. Great church. Had a great morning. Loved it. And I thought, this is what I want to be. This is good. Stay in the Southwest. A man came to me over coffee, and he said to me, Jonathan, I heard a joke this morning from Ken Dodd. And he said, I thought you might like to use it in a sermon sometime. I'm thinking to myself, I probably won't, but you know. He said, no, it's just simple. He said, question, how do you make God laugh? Answer, you tell him the plans you've got for your life. I tell you, it was a knife. It went straight in. It went straight in. I knew it was the Lord's word. Ken Dodd has never spoken to me anyway. But it was the Lord's word. I was being arrogant. I'd sorted out my plan for my life and I was fine. I drove home 2 hours to get home to Exeter, where we lived. I was in tears the whole way. And I said, Sue, I must be willing. I must be willing. It was hard. Tears are still there as I recall the story. We didn't want to give up. The Lord was blessing what we were doing. That was part of the argument. It'd leave us alone, for heaven's sake. Let's get on with it. Got to be willing. I tell you, when I contacted the committee the next week, the next day, to say, I'm willing to talk to you, I made sure they had any other name I could think of, other people they could approach, but it was what the Lord wanted me to do, and it's a privilege in the end to serve in that way. But do you hear what I'm saying? I'm asking you, not are you willing to keep doing the stuff you know you love doing? Are you willing to go on a journey with God, even if it is seriously wacky, like Mary and Joseph, seriously different, seriously uncomfortable, seriously painful? Are you willing? So often what we are talking about when we talk about discipleship is about us doing our service for God in the way that fits in for us now. It really interests me that when you hear the testimonies, time and again I've heard this, when you hear the testimonies of people in the life of our churches and what they've done, the testimony of a church secretary or treasurer, those who worked in children's work and youth work, those who worked in the women's meeting, whatever it may be, time and again I hear them say this: I never really wanted to do this particular job, but I offered to do it for a couple of weeks. And now, 27 years later, do you know, well, it is funny, isn't it? But there will be loads of you around here who've heard the call of God like that. And what's happened, bless you, is you've been willing. Not because you had some great qualification. I think of my wife's call. I was thinking of the different jobs she's done in the life of the church. Church loo cleaner. I mean, she doesn't have professional training for it, but she was willing. Working in the Girls' Brigade would not be her first choice to do, but for 10 years effectively worked in Girls' Brigade. Why? Because she's willing. She was not willing for girls to be refused entry to the Girls' Brigade because there weren't enough leaders. She was not willing for that. So she was willing to do something which wasn't. And you've got those stories. But do you hear what I'm saying? The key question is, are you willing? Not in the first instance, actually, are you qualified? Are you willing? The Lord can give you gifts. We can do training. Stuff can happen. But are you willing to go on that journey with God? In a moment, we're going to share around the table. And this is the question as we come to the table. The question is, will you truly see Jesus Christ as your Lord? Lord, Lord, the one who's in charge. Not you, you're not in charge any longer. The Lord's in charge. Will you come to the table and say, Lord, you are in charge of my life. I will do what you ask me to do, whether it's comfortable or uncomfortable, whether it's predictable and well inside the box and safe, or well outside the box and dangerous. Lord, I am willing. I wonder how you hear this message, but do hear it as God's word to you today. Are you willing? For some of you, it will be something very specific where you've been asked to do something you really don't want to flipping do. Just feel uncomfortable thinking about it. The Lord is just asking you today, not are you qualified? Do you have background in doing this? No. Are you willing? Are you willing to let the Lord be the Lord of your life and to shape your life? At the beginning of the new year, the Methodists have a covenant service. And as I reflected on these things during the week, I reflected on that beautiful prayer that they use, which I'm going to use with you now. And it's a lead into the communion service. I hope you can say it with me. Echo it in your hearts if these words are true for you. Are you willing to be a servant of the Lord? Are you willing to be, this Christmas time, willing to do whatever he asks you to do? Let us pray. Just echo it in your heart if it's true for you. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me, Lord, to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine, and I am yours, so be it. And the covenant made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.